Hello and welcome to the Be Unapologetically You podcast, where we talk about all things personal development, health and wellness, and of course, fitness, and how you can do all those things to create a lifestyle that works for you and nobody else. Because nobody else was made like you, so why would you do it the same way as somebody else? So thank you for joining us today, and let's get started into the episode. Today's guest on Be Unapologetically You Radio is my dear friend, Jules Marie. Jules is the owner of Beyond the Bar, LLC. She also is a certified personal trainer and fitness nutrition specialist, I believe it's FNS. She also has a next level sports nutrition specialist. She knows all things about supplements, and she loves talking about the biggest, baddest myths in the industry, busting common disbeliefs, and of course, stupid ratios and eating weird shit. So I'm super excited to bring her to you today. And thank you for coming on to the show, Jules.
Hi, Kelsey. Thank you for having me.
Yes, I'm super excited and stoked to have you. And I'm so excited for all the stuff you're going to bring to the lovely folks.
Oh, it should be a good one.
Definitely. Jules AF. So tell
always,
the people about yourself. Yes.
I am 27 years old, live in Louisville, Kentucky. I work full-time for a local supplement store, and I have my coaching business on the side. I've been coaching for, going on 4 or 5 years now, both in person and online. Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Cool. So what does your fitness look like for you?
Right now, it's more of a powerlifting type, strength-focused workout. I hate to even say powerlifting because I don't consider myself a powerlifter. Never stepped on a platform, but that is the ultimate end goal, to one day step on a platform.
Cool.
We just like that's the goal right now.
That's awesome. So what spurred you to start training like that?
I've never really shied away from resistance training and strength training. I actually used to do CrossFit back in the day, and that was the first time that I got a barbell in my hand, like for real, and learned how to deadlift and learned how to squat. And I was like, oh, fuck, this is amazing. And it was from there that my journey, so to speak, was like ignited. I quit CrossFit. I was like, oh, cool. I don't have to actually run and do burpees every day. I don't have to be a gymnast because I'm clearly not. I can do the heavy stuff. And I can do the fun stuff and be happy with it all. So I took a straight right turn into purely strength training after CrossFit. But it definitely was what got me into it to begin with.
Very cool. So how did you go from going out of CrossFit to where you are now? Did you hire a coach? Did you just start learning? How did that journey look like?
So I worked a lot of jobs all at one time in my undergrad, and this was around the time that I was in CrossFit and doing that. So my schedule was weird. I was really intimidated to be at like a bigger gym because these were people that were experienced and these were competitive people, and I was petrified. So I joined my local Planet Fitness and started to get my workouts in done there before and after work, school, whatever. And then once I got super comfortable in Planet Fitness, I realized that it was only going to keep me mediocre and average and on one playing field, and I had to go to a bigger, scarier gym in order to level up, so to speak, in my workouts. So I made the transition to a local bigger gym. What's done is done. Never looked back. I'm still at those gyms. Worked at those gyms as a trainer. They've got a soft spot in my heart.
Oh, that's awesome.
Never hired a coach though.
Really?
Intimidated. I never wanted to be viewed as a beginner. I was too prideful in that aspect. I was never going to let someone know I was new and didn't know.
Gotcha.
Young Jules was a mess.
So how did you work through that then? Because you've learned so much since that point. So you've had to overcome it in some capacity.
I watched a shit ton of YouTube and I read a fuck ton of articles. And it was one of those things where that's how I got certification, was I was like, I want to be better at this for me. I'm going to learn about it so I know what I'm doing. And then I was like, I'm going to have to eventually put down that guard and let someone who knows more than me be a mentor or teach me or guide me, or I want to learn from people. And it just became a like spiral effect of like, what can you teach me? What do you have to teach me? What don't I know? And I want to know all of it. So there's a turning point getting my certification that I was like, fuck, I don't know anything and I'm never going to know it all. So I'm going to be a student for life and I'm just going to learn everything I can from everyone I can. So that was, my certification was a huge turning point for me.
Awesome. So I know that something that we both talk about a lot is like some of our biggest peeves in the industry and people not really taking time to educate themselves. So this is your time to like myth bust a couple things that really, really bother you and talk about why they bother you and what people can do to not fall into that trap.
Oh man, where to begin? I have such a love-hate with this industry. I'm obviously a part of it between my own business and my full-time job. But there are some days where I don't want anything to do with it because I think that it's just, in some aspects, awful. I think there's a couple things. Yes, I think that if you have experienced something before, whether it's a huge transformation in terms of like gaining or losing, or if you've done competition and whatnot, you obviously have the experience factor of something. However, the educational aspect of something is always, in my opinion, going to trump that. You don't know the basics of why you're programming something for someone, or why you're having them do something with nutrition, you should not be assigning it to them. I think there's more that goes into building a program for someone than just winging together six exercises for shits and giggles because they're all the same muscle group. Let's see, what else is there? I think you should start with basics overall. So many people want to jump into a gym from a training standpoint and immediately teach your client how to get under a barbell and do a barbell squat. And that's not where you start. There's definitely a progressive level to everything. And to not start them off on that is doing a disservice to them. I get that you want your client to squat, they want to squat, but you got to learn to crawl before you walk, or else you're going to miss major milestones in their development and their micro spots. But you need the micros in order to hit the macro. It's just plain and simple. The supplement usage, I feel pretty hypocritical because I work in the industry directly. They're definitely spot on products that will do amazing things for you. But the basis of using all of them is that you have to have your nutrition dialed in. You just have to. You have to have your training dialed in. And you have to have some kind of ignore the mental aspect of certain products, and that if your training nutrition aren't dialed in, you're just kind of like winging it, you're not really in it, then they're never going to do what they say they're going to do. And that's where they get a bad rap. Yes, I do think there are bad products out there. My store doesn't carry the bad products, so I can't speak on them. But you have to do your research, and not just from the bro in the gym who's jacked. It's not your go-to source. Or it shouldn't be your go-to source. And also the fact that women know shit. Like, stop downplaying women and their expertise and their education because we're fucking female. I don't know how many times men will completely ignore what I have to say to go to a male coworker who's going to tell me the exact same thing in terms of training, nutrition, supplementation, anything. Just because I don't have mass amounts of testosterone in my system doesn't mean that I don't have the educational background to understand how it works in your body. So that is probably my big set of pet peeves. I could probably come up with more if you gave me more time.
But. Well, and I would agree with a lot of those too. I think a lot of people are biased toward males, especially ones that are big and jacked, because they think that they're a product of their own actions, when a lot of time they probably had help or really good genetics. a lot of people don't ask enough questions of why things are happening or take the time to at least have a basis understanding of what's going on. So can you elaborate why it's so important to have a basis understanding, even if you do have a coach?
Because you're not supposed to keep your coach. And that's my other thing. People need, women especially, we need to feel needed. We need to feel wanted. So when it comes to coaching, we're doing every one of our clients a disservice if we make them rely on us for their success. So if you don't teach them how to be successful without you, they will never be successful without you until they find a coach that's going to teach them the why behind everything. So I always like to say it's like a map. Like, I can guide you. I'll give you a map. You'll know everything. You're going to know the why, because I want you to fucking know, and I don't want you to rely on me, and I don't want you to just go blindly into this world, because that's when bad things happen to good clients. So be better. Just be better. Leave people better than you left them. Leave them more educated. Don't villainize anything. Don't give them false information. Don't tell them shit if you don't actually know it to be true. It's just like basic human decency from a coaching standpoint.
Gotcha. So where would you direct people to start looking for information? Because as we both are well aware of, there's a blog a dozen with lots of information on there. But where would you direct people to go get quality information if they are trying to find quality information, so that way they know they're not being duped by their coach or the supplement industry?
Google Scholar. Google Scholar all day, every day. You're going to Google something. Everybody Googles everything nowadays. Why not act Google Scholar that has real factual studies and information from accredited sources? I can Google keto on regular Google and BuzzFeed will pop up. BuzzFeed isn't going to tell you shit that you need to know. If nothing's sourced behind it, don't listen to it. I never trust a naturally skinny person on how to lose weight because they've never had that struggle from that standpoint. I mean, it's just kind of like a duh thing for me, but definitely start at Google Scholar. Don't be scared to read hard literature. It'll do you well.
Gotcha. So what is some things that you would suggest somebody that's new to their fitness journey, to what would you recommend them to start doing in order to just start? And because they've seen all the ads for like supplements, they've seen all the ads for coaches, like what would be like three or four things you would recommend them to focus on and build upon?
In terms of like just habits, like every day?
Mm-hmm. Just the basics.
So, I always suggest just starting tracking your food, not aiming for a specific calorie or macro goal. Just a lot of times people are grossly under eating what they should be or grossly overeating what they shouldn't be. So if you can kind of see for yourself, like it's one thing to take a handful of Reese cups and eat them, but it's another when you actually have to log in, you're like, oh fuck, that's my daily caloric intake in one handful. Holy shit. It's just kind of a good like eye-opening way to see what you might not have seen before. And also just start moving. And it's not necessarily a cardio versus resistance training. Most gyms have machines set up in some type of like a circuit, so you can just move machine to machine to machine. Don't be afraid to ask for help. I told myself that 10 years ago. You're never going to look stupid unless you're not asking for help. From a supplement standpoint, you're probably under eating protein. Most people are. Get yourself a protein powder, a quality protein powder. I can help you find a quality protein powder if you need me. I got you. Creatine is also a really good one that I suggest. But I would definitely stay away from your fat burners and whatnot because you don't have anything dialed in yet. And those are only really going to benefit you if you have something dialed in. But yeah, just move, track your food. Again, not for a certain goal. Get you some protein there. Consider creatine once you start doing all three of those.
Okay. So focus on getting self-awareness and figure out where you're at first before you start changing everything, essentially.
Yeah. That's the other thing, like people want to start in on meal prepping 5 days a week while going to the gym 6 days a week and doing 2 hours of this and we're going to do, and they want to do it all at one time. Why? Add a vegetable to every meal, add to every meal, like just little things add up over time consistently when you do them consistently. But don't jump in and lifestyle change and a week you're going to get overwhelmed and drop it all. Why are we going to do that? I want you to start over 15 times. You can, but why do it if you don't have to?
Mm-hmm. What is something that you've had to work through in your fitness journey that you struggled with that you would want somebody not to have to go through?
Oh, Kelsey, with the hard questions. I really struggled at first with, my body in relation to what I was doing and what I looked like versus what I felt I looked like. It can be kind of a mind fuck if you get some type of body dysmorphia from a good change or a decent change that you have, whether it's in terms of losing or gaining. I know I went through a really weird phase when I was younger. I just started going to Planet Fitness. I just started in on this. And that's when macros were becoming a big thing. And you were seeing a huge shift from bro dieting with chicken, broccoli, and white rice into these macro meals where you can have anything that you want as long as it fits your macros. And I was floored. And so I took it as literal as possible before there was so much information on macros and IIFYM. And I'd eat a fucking sleeve of Oreos because it fit my macros for the day. I didn't fully understand it. Just because that fit doesn't mean obviously it's the best option for me. And I try to relay that to my clients, like, look, protein, carb sources, meal timing, all of that is important. Have an Oreo or two if it fits. But if you're making room for an entire sleeve of them, we're not hitting the target we need to and something's a little bit off and the priorities have shifted. So I wish somebody would have like intervened on me when I was trying to eat all this shit because I wanted it and because it fit my macros. And I wish somebody would have stopped me then because I did what I call like a permabolt. Then I essentially bulked for years without realizing it. Granted, now I have some good ass muscle and I'm kind of strong, but higher body fat comes with that. Kind of disordered eating comes with that. A little bit of body dysmorphia comes with that. And having to accept yourself through all of that was difficult. So again, I wish somebody would have intervened and I would have known a little bit better and made better choices.
Gotcha. So what would you say, how would you suggest somebody, so if they're doing IIFYM, or we both know how I feel about calorie counting, I think you feel the same way, but like, how would you recommend somebody to approach that and incorporate that moderation of those fun foods? What strategies would you give them?
So every client that I get, whether it's through a challenge or one-on-one coaching, I send out a 5 healthy habits ebook to them, regardless of how I know them. And I think that they are things that you can and should implement at all stages of your journey, regardless of what it is and how long of a time period you have. So again, vegetables at every single meal. I don't care what kind of fucking vegetable it is. If it's green, yellow, orange, red, vegetable at every meal. Then you have a protein, same protein source at every feeding is, I guess, what we'll call it. So I don't care what kind of protein it is, whether you follow a vegan lifestyle or full-on carnivore, you need protein at every meal. From there, water. Water all day, every day. Flavor it up if you can, if you want to, if you have to, if you feel you need. But those are all things that if you get those down first, you can make room for the things that you and your soul crave. But the cravings aren't and shouldn't be the priority. You shouldn't be hoarding macros in order to have a sleeve of Oreos at the end of every night. We're doing something wrong if that's what's coming into play.
Gotcha. So what should they be feeling if they're moving away from the Oreos? How should their body feel? What kind of energy should they have?
Coming from someone who has some fucked up cortisol, I don't know what it's like to have natural energy, hence why I am highly caffeinated as we speak. You just kind of feel overall better. It's one of those things where you might not realize just how bad you felt before, but now you know you feel better. Body moves a little bit easier. Maybe you sleep a little bit deeper. Maybe your anxiety has gone down a little bit. Maybe you have less bloating, constipation, anything like that. Maybe skin gets a little bit clearer and you just feel a bit more alert and awake, not so much brain fog. And eating like that doesn't become a chore either. And I think that that's a sign that this is becoming more of a lifestyle and not just a quick and out wannabe habit, but not really quite there yet. You're actively choosing to eat well for your body and can perform to the you're pushing it, then I think that's the major click in the gears.
Oh, very cool. So I have a couple more questions. So you've mentioned it a couple times, which is like getting everything dialed in, like their diet dialed in and their workouts dialed in. What does that mean to somebody? And what does that mean when they know they need to take the next step?
Again, it just becomes like clockwork. Like you're just doing it and you don't mind doing it. It's not a hassle to do it. It's more of a discipline thing as opposed to a motivation thing. I fucking hate when people tell me that they're not motivated. How do I get motivated? I don't know. That's completely intrinsic to you and personal to you. And you're never really going to stay motivated 100% all the time. That's when discipline comes in. So if you're disciplined in the sense that you're going to do what needs to get done, regardless of how you currently feel, then I think you're more dialed in. If you don't have to actually like convince yourself to go to the gym and do your workouts and you're actually going to do the cardio that's prescribed as well and not just skimp out on it, then I think you're dialed in. And if you're dialed in consistently, I would say for at least 4 to 6 weeks, then you can start making some changes, whether it's tweaking your diet, slowly increase or decrease depending on your goals, or maybe adding in a new supplement or two, because you've already shown that you can be consistent and your body do actually the benefits of a change and get you potentially over a plateau or out of just kind of a mediocre average. That's when you can start doing that.
Cool. Okay. So now we got some rapid fire questions. So what's your favorite energy drink?
Oh my God, Bang. Hands down.
Flavor?
Hands down. Oh shit. Black cherry, vanilla, blue raz, or cotton candy.
Cool. Favorite supplement you take?
Creatine, unflavored, 5 grams every single day.
Awesome. Favorite meal?
Why must you make me choose food? Favorite food. It's like picking amongst my favorite friends and or children and or dog. Anything that texturally hits all of the good things. I want something soft, crunchy. I want something spicy, sweet, savory. If a meal can hit all of them, I'm satisfied.
Gotcha. Favorite movement?
Oh, deadlifts.
Awesome.
Deadlifts.
Most, in your opinion, most underutilized stretch?
Fuck, what's the name? The bird dog.
Oh. Is that bird dog? The one where you have one arm and the opposite leg lift up?
Yeah. Yeah. It's I've always prescribed it as ab work, but fuck that shit gets hard.
Definitely.
I think everyone should be doing those.
Ooh. What else do you think everybody should be doing?
I'll tell you what I think everyone should be doing a little bit less of.
Ooh, okay.
Your warm-up routine should not take you 45 fucking minutes before any type of compound. So I get it. You want to say, my full-time job is pretty sedentary for the most part. I will do a little bit of a warm-up, maybe like some walking lunges or on a treadmill, do some walk or the bike or whatever. Do your warm-up relative to the exercise movements you are about to do. But goddamn, you're going to do 15 minutes of mobility on top of your warm-up on top of 15 minutes of foam rolling for what? You cannot be that immobile all day for weeks at a time to need that significant of a warm-up. Just do the shit that's relative to what you're about to do and get it done. It shouldn't take you 45 minutes. I think you're doing too much. And studies have actually shown that you're doing too much prior to your workout. If you don't believe me, hop onto Google Scholar. Prove me wrong. I would love it. Not being arrogant. I really would like to be proven wrong on that.
Yes. And I will make sure y'all know how to connect with Jules. She loves conversation and having good dialogue and conflict in all the right areas. So definitely make sure that you have all the connections. Favorite type of leggings?
Ooh, I'm in them all day, every day. 2 or 3 pairs a day. I got to go with my homegirl, Lululemon.
I know.
I hate that.
Doesn't it just kill your soul sometimes?
Yeah, but you know, pro tip, you got to create the We Made Too Much section on their website. And if you own your own business, which most from, which is how we know each other, mm-hmm. are affiliated with an LLC, mm-hmm. you get a discount.
Yep.
If you're a trainer, like that, you get a discount. Upload your certification, all that. I'm all about saving a buck when I can. But mm-hmm. I think they are an investment. I'm wearing them right now. I've had some of them for 3 or 4 years and they're still 100%.
Me too. And they have a lifetime warranty. And when they break, you take them in. They'll give you a gift card and you pick whatever you want out of their store.
Can we ask for anything better?
Yeah. I know. It's awesome. Just makes you want to scream.
Dude, free leggings for life, essentially.
Exactly. Favorite breakfast?
I have the same exact breakfast every single day. I have a serving of oats. Right now, I'm in a flavor variety pack of like the fruit ones, like banana, peaches, blueberry. But otherwise, it's scrambled eggs with Mexican cheese, jalapenos, onions, peppers, over a bed of spinach. Don't look at me like that.
I love it. I love it. It sounds so good. I'm such a breakfast like whore. I really know it. I'm like, I've had avocado toast like every day for like the last 2.5 months. I have been ruined. It's awesome.
Yeah. If I don't have eggs in the morning, like my life feels so incomplete. I think they're the greatest fucking food to ever hit this planet.
You and me both. Exactly. So two more questions, my lovely lady.
Yeah.
Number one. If you could tell anybody how to be unapologetically themselves, what would you say to them?
God, life is too fucking short. I'm not about it. If I have something to say, I'm going to say it. I don't have regrets in life because I've been myself for a majority of it. I don't believe in dimming your light to make other people comfortable. I don't believe in hiding yourself. I think you're doing everybody a disservice by doing so. Make people uncomfortable. It's the only way you're going to grow. It's the only way they're going to grow. But don't take it personal if they do get uncomfortable. That's their issue. That's not your issue. I will never apologize for being me 100%.
Oh, I love that. I love it. Be you, boo. Love it.
Be you, boo.
Yes. Last question. Is there anything else you want to share with the audience or encourage them to be doing to improve their health, their life, or whatever you feel like people need help with?
I think everybody needs to understand that this shit is lifelong. Like, you might do an 8-week challenge online with somebody, and that's 8 weeks. What you have the potential to learn in those 8 weeks, you can carry with you for the rest of your fucking life. Like, this shit gets generational. You can impact your environment via like your friends and family and your loved ones. This shit is lifelong and you're not the only one invested in your health. We obviously want our parents to all live forever. We want to be around for kids if you have them. You want to extend your life as much as you can, and you have, for the most part, a huge amount of control in that. Why the fuck are you not doing it? I'm not telling you to get into a gym necessarily, but you have to do something for your body. Our body's not intended to be at rest sitting in a fucking chair all day. Move it. Do something. Everyone around you will benefit from it.
Oh, I love that. Oh, just speaking my words, man. Okay, so Miss Jules, where can people find you? Is there places for them to connect with you? Or what if they want to contact you? Where should people find you?
So everything is pretty much exactly the same because that's who I am as a person. IG is at Coach Jules, J-U-L-E-S, Marie. My email is coachjulesmarie@gmail.com. Those are the two best ways to contact me. Really, the only ways to contact me. But yeah, hit me up. I'm always willing to talk and discuss. I'm not as confrontational as I might appear to be. I just have strong opinions. But I like hearing other people's strong opinions, and I like having uncomfortable conversations with people, as long as we gain something out of it. So don't be strangers.
I love it. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me. I love what you're doing. I was happy to be part of it.
Awesome. Well, we'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Bye.
Dudes and dudettes, I hope you really enjoyed that episode, and I love that you came and spent some time with us today. If you enjoyed the podcast, please, please take a moment to leave us a review on iTunes. It really does help the podcast get found, and it also provides us feedback. You can also follow us on Instagram at BeUnapologeticallyYou, and we would love to see you tag us on Instagram of you listening to the podcast. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen to this podcast. And remember, don't forget to be unapologetically you. We'll see you guys in the next episode. Bye.